Well, were you lucky enough, or maybe old enough, to be around to see this happen?
I'm going to step off the land now. That's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
Yes, 50 years it'll be next year since the world watched Neil Armstrong take those first steps on the surface of the moon. And here in Australia, we played a crucial role as immortalised in the movie The Dish. The Parkes Radio Telescope was responsible for receiving the images from the lunar surface and sending them to television sets around the planet. Our involvement, though, was hardly a one-off. Australia's played a really big role in space exploration almost since it began, which is amazing given that we've done it all without the help of a federal space agency. Well, last September, the federal government announced a commitment to establish our own. And last week, a reference group was due to report to the government. Exciting stuff. So what will it mean for Australia? Andrew Dempster is the director at the Australian Centre for Space Engineering Research at the University of New South Wales. Good morning, Andrew.
Good morning.
And joining us from Adelaide is Alice Gorman, who is a lecturer in archaeology and space studies at Flinders University. Good morning, Alice.
Good morning, Cassie and Andrew.
Now, first to this, the announcement by Simon Birmingham, Andrew. Where's it come from? Where's the inspiration? What's the push behind it?
Well, as you said, Australia hasn't had a space agency, and we were one of the only three OECD countries not to have a space agency until recently. And what happened in New Zealand, they have developed an indigenous launch capability there, a company called Rocket Labs, and that company has basically forced New Zealand to create an agency there. The same sort of thing is happening here. We've got a number of startup companies who are really doing very exciting and interesting things, putting up small satellites, looking at CubeSats or constellations of small satellites. And so there's so much going on that the government really needed to react. It was put in a position where we really needed to facilitate this boom in what's being called Space 2.0.
Because it's going to happen anyway.
It will happen anyway, but Australia's contribution would be drastically improved if there was that level of government facilitation and support.
Now, Alice Gorman, that example that Andrew gave us of the New Zealand exploration, that was a rocket that was sent, and we were talking about it not so long ago, weren't we?
Yeah, this is true.
And what form did it take?
Well, this successful launch actually managed to put into orbit a satellite called the Humanity Star, which was aimed at being an inspiration for people to look up into the sky and think about the vaster universe out there and think about how, you know, conflict on Earth is really a bit pointless. So it was a very symbolic exercise in putting something into orbit. And I think this actually relates to something that we're hoping to do now with the new Australian Space Agency. And this is actually give people some vision, something to look forward to, something outside ourselves that people can participate in.
Mm. Andrew, what was your reaction when you heard the announcement from Senator Simon Birmingham about this commitment?
Well, at a personal level, it was really very interesting. I was there, Alice was there. Simon Birmingham, I think, wasn't necessarily the first choice to make that announcement. And so I'm not sure he was across all of the issues and so on. And so when he announced that Australia was going to have a space agency, there was this great roar from the room, this sort of pent-up decades of frustration, and it sort of blew him off the stage. He sort of took a step back and looked almost not so much frightened but really surprised at how much enthusiasm there was there amongst this community to really get this thing going.
Because who was he speaking to?
This was last year in Adelaide at the International Astronautical Congress, which is the largest conference ever held in Adelaide and the largest space conference in the world. It's lots of conferences in one, really.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really, you know, the leaders of NASA and ESA and all the various space agencies were there. It's a very big deal. And so it was the right place to make that sort of announcement.
Yeah.
And one of the things they have there, they have a panel which is the heads of space agency. And, of course, in the past, every single one in the past, Australia has not been on that stage because we don't have a space agency. And this panel was held after the announcement had been made because that was at the opening ceremony. And this also was quite an emotional moment. So they had all the heads of space agency there and we were all sitting in the audience thinking, next year this could be us. Like, we could be represented on this global stage having a voice in what's going to happen in space. So that was a fairly exciting moment as well.
Yeah. As we've been saying, Andrew, this is, you know, hasn't come out of the blue. We've had this commitment to it. How do you characterise Australia's interest and action in the space world?
Well, for a long time. I mean, you mentioned the dish and the movie and so on. I mean, Australia's contribution in the space area has been really quite significant on the ground. Many people were saying, you know, we had the lowest flying space industry in the world. It was all on the ground. And that's what's going to change. So in the past, we've been very good
What does that mean? You mean like we've sort all of done all the...
All of our participation in the space industry has been terrestrial. We've had dishes tracking satellites and bringing down data and that sort of thing. And there's a lot of technical expertise in Australia at processing images from remote sensing satellites and that sort of thing. But in terms of what they call upstream, which is putting things in space, our own assets, like Australian assets to solve Australian problems, that has not happened, and that's what's going to change now.
And so we've sort of been assisting other projects in many ways.
That's right, yeah. So our geography has helped us quite a lot in that regard. You know, if a satellite's flying, orbiting, it can dump a lot of data in Australia and then fill up with data again before it comes over its European or American base station. So having a geographically separate place to monitor the satellites is very useful. And that's been exploited many times by many missions, particularly the remote sensing missions.
We're talking on Focus on ABC Sydney with Andrew Dempster, who is the director of the Australian Centre for Space Engineering Research at the University of New South Wales, and also Alice Gorman, who's joining us from Flinders. She works in space studies there, Flinders University. Alice, I know you will have thought about this because this is what your area is, but representing Australia, if we do actually get into space, presents us with a kind of interesting, possibility, a lot of opportunities. We'll be doing a lot of the science, obviously, but how are we going to go about it culturally?
This is an interesting question because we don't really have our own space identity, if you like, even though, as Andrew has outlined as well, we have this long history of space achievements dating from immediately after the Second World War. We had one of the earliest rocket launch sites in the world. We were very active participants in the early European space programs, in NASA human spaceflight programs, in our own scientific experiments. We launched our own satellite in 1967, ResatOne, and by some calculations that made us the third or fourth nation in space, which is pretty significant. But I think we've never really owned this. We've never really allowed ourselves to have confidence in ourselves as a nation or as a community in being spacefaring. And I think this is something we're going to have to grapple with now. We're going to have to allow ourselves to feel more confident in presenting our technologies and our achievements to the world. And we're going to have to not have this technological cringe anymore. We're going to have to go out there in the world and be the space agency on the stage with all the others.
And not just the world.
Have a voice.
Whatever's out there.
Well,
we're
yes,
representing
this is true as well. This is true as well. And something I think is quite important about this as well is that, and Andrew has made this point, like we don't have to follow the old models of the existing space agencies. Uh-huh. We can make a new kind of space agency for the new kind of space that's happening now. And part of this that I think is really important is acknowledging that Australia is a colonised country. We have First Nations people. It's great to have all the Indigenous sky knowledge and Indigenous astronomy stuff happening at the moment, but I think we also need to give Aboriginal people a seat at this table,
yeah,
and have a say in the future of how we are presenting ourselves in space.
Well, there are so many delightful possibilities there, aren't there? 1300 222 782, if you want to join this conversation. Maybe you've got a question for these people who know a lot about space. That's what Rob has done. Good morning, Rob.
G'day, guys. How are you?
Not bad.
Yeah. Good.
Good. Good. Listen, I was just thinking back. Did we not declare a site up on the northeastern tip of Australia as our new launch site for rockets about 20 years ago? And what happened to that?
Andrew?
Yeah, the story of launch in Australia has a bit of a checkered past. I think the initiative that you're referring to was one that was driven sort of from probably Joe Bjelke-Petersen's years.
Yeah, like North Queensland in the 1980s.
And in fact, some people argue that the way that that particular initiative went, and it was quite troublesome, has burned politicians such that they didn't want to come back to talk about space. But there is, in fact, just recently an initiative being driven out of Nhulunbuy in the Northern Territory, and they have just spent 2 years working with the local Indigenous people to get approval to use that site. And the reason why you want to be quite north in Australia is because the closer you get to the equator, you get the spin of the Earth helps you with the launching.
Oh, I see. You get a kind of...
It reduces like the amount of fuel and so the cost.
Momentum from the equatorial zone.
And some satellites actually need to be launched, like geostationary satellites, for instance. They sit on the equator, so it makes sense to have a launch facility there.
I have to say, years ago I met one of the space experts who was asked to review the proposal for that Queensland spaceport. And there were, as Andrew mentioned, a lot of complex sort of political issues around it. But he told me that the bottom line was that it was just not a viable proposal, that all of the pieces weren't in place. It didn't have a hope in hell of getting up, which I found quite interesting. But, yes, I think it's true. Like, many politicians sort of felt a bit burnt by that, and it certainly set the whole dialogue back quite a while.
So, yeah, people were kind of a bit taken aback. Rob, did it excite your in imagination, the idea that we could have one of these in Australia?
Yeah, it did. I mean, I thought, you know, why not? Everyone else is doing it, and we do have the technology and the know-how. And
why not, indeed?
Yeah, and I think Nhulunbuy would be a great spot up in the Gove Peninsula up there. It'd be great for the local people, and why not?
Well, thanks very much for that, Rob. 1300 222 782. If you'd like to add your thoughts to our conversation, or on the text line 0467 922 702. Ben says on the text line, if the Conservatives have their way, our first rocket will be coal powered, which of course is a bit ridiculous. But Andrew, tell us about what this could mean for the advancement of technology in Australia. I mean, obviously we know that military and space exploration programs have typically been involved in sort of the avant-garde and the leading edge of advancement. Would it be a big lift for us?
Totally. So this is one of the initiatives the government is really trying to push is advanced manufacturing, and this fits right into that. And what studies have found is if you put a dollar into space, into like upstream space technologies, that sort of flows on to about $5 elsewhere in the economy. So it is a real driver for technological advancement. And what countries like the US, who do have a big military presence in space, they have a really big commercial space industry to support that. And that's really what has been absent in Australia, that commercial side. There's been a reasonable amount of activity going on in the sort of defence and secure area that they don't talk about so much. But it's this civilian part that we really need to be getting developed.
So tell us about the commercial side. Do you mean companies like, I don't know, phone companies sending up satellites so that they can run their phone networks? Is that...
That's an example. But the two that have recently got their first round funding, so two startups. There's one called Fleet, another one called Myriota. They're both in Adelaide. And they are sort of doing Internet of Things from space.
Mm.
So Australia is actually quite a good place to be thinking about this because there's a lot of remote locations where you might want to get data back and so on. And so what they're looking at, and this is something, when I mentioned earlier this idea of space 2.0, the space industry is going through a big disruption. So there are two things that are happening with things like CubeSats. There are two ways that disruptive technologies come along. One is that you can do what someone else is doing cheaper, or you can do something that someone else can't do. So if you consider these imaging satellites, the beautiful imagery that we've seen from space, from the big, expensive imaging satellites.
You mean the ones that can zoom down and show you, a person walking down a street?
Google Earth type images. Those satellites come by every 2 weeks or something and take these great images. But for a fraction of the cost of launching one of those, you could launch 50 or 100 of these loaf of bread size images, which would then give you imagery every hour. So you could do all sorts of things in space which you couldn't do before. And that's what these companies in South Australia are talking about doing, is they're effectively saying, okay, we're going to launch lots of these cheap satellites, but at any given time you'll be able to see one, and so you'll be able to report your data using the Internet of Things. So that's just a couple of examples of where – and these are the companies that are driving the
government. And Alice, I'm going to ask you in a moment about all the implications of those kinds of projects. But let's hear from Peter in Newport. Good morning.
Hi there. This is possibly a bit parochial, but it sounds like a lot of the industry and the government focus is in South Australia at the moment. What about New South Wales or Sydney? Is there any plans by the New South Wales government to do anything about that or any news from industry in that area?
Mm, good question. Yeah, Andrew.
What a coincidence. Maybe this person has read the same article that Alice and I wrote last week.
Oh, really?
In fact, I was in the New South Wales Parliament House yesterday talking to a group of politicians, and I sat down and said to them, look, the New South Wales submission to the expert review panel that you mentioned listed 17 reasons why New South Wales was dominant in space in Australia. And they include things like we have the most people working in that area, we have the most investment, we have the most startups, we have the most startup funding, we have the most space lawyers, we have the most research. There's a big list. They were shocked. I mean, it was really quite strange because there was a New South Wales government submission to that that inquiry, but the people who were doing this review of defence and aerospace and in the New South Wales government were unaware of their own submission. And so, I mean, it was really good that I was able to tell them, but it's a surprise. I think if it's a surprise to them, it's going to be a surprise to everyone. So it's a message we need to get out.
So we really don't even understand our own capacity to support the industry.
Yeah. But I mean,
to clarify that,
Alice, just let me finish the note, because I don't advocate for New South Wales being the centre. I really am advocating for a national approach to the space agency.
But we have
Tell us. Wanted to add to that I mean, that's Andrew's experience there. It's interesting because we have had over a number of years regular studies done by the Space Policy Unit or the Space Coordination Office, which it became, doing a survey of Australian space capabilities. So we've actually been gathering that data for, I don't know, Andrew, what would it be? There's been at least four or five of these surveys.
Over and over, yeah.
Over and over. And they've all, said the same thing. There's an incredibly rich ecosystem of space things happening, not just commercial, but education and space science and all of that. So it's not like that information isn't out there. And I suppose the fact that Andrew can have this conversation with the New South Wales pollies and they're like, bloody hell, we had no idea, shows why we need an agency, because this is what an agency can do. It can be the front line or the front office that says, right, this is what we've got, this is what we can do with it, and nobody's going to be surprised to learn that we have this incredibly vigorous space industry. You know, there's something happening in every state pretty much.
Mm. And it comes back to what Alice said earlier, is that if people knew about this, then we'd be much more prepared, you know, to engage with it and support it and say, look, you know, this is what we do and we do it well, let's get on with it.
Mm. On ABC Sydney, we're talking with Andrew Dempster, who's from the Australian Centre for Space Engineering Research at the University of New South Wales, and Alice Gorman, who studies space at Flinders University. And we're talking about this commitment that the federal government has made about bringing an Australian space agency into reality. There's a review into it, which was handed to the government at the end of last week. But as we're hearing, like, it's a real wake-up call for maybe politicians as well as people outside the industry as to what the capacities we could have and what we could turn out to the world and indeed to further beyond our world. Mm-hmm. Alice, where would we focus? I mean, what would our strength be? How would we be identifiable to other agencies around the world?
Well, you know, we do have and have had delegations from international space agencies and organisations who turn up on our doorstep and say, right, we want to talk business. We want to talk how we can collaborate with you. And in the past, they've kind of been a bit puzzled because there hasn't been anyone to talk to. Like, they're like, who do we talk to? Where is the first port of call? So I think we're likely to get a lot more of that happening once we have this sort of really visible thing, this really visible identity. One of the things I think we already do this incredibly well, and I think more people may come to look to us for this. And this is the space tracking thing. So we have this large landmass. We're in a sort of a bit of a, they call it GNSS hotspot. We can download all of this data, Earth observation, other data, before satellites go on to do other things. We already host a number of ground stations or Earth stations from the European Space Agency. There's a Swedish company as well. So I suspect this is an area that's going to be a bit of a growth area for us, and we have the skilled staff, we have the people with the expertise to do this. Mm. I think another place where we have an opportunity to get into those sort of global supply chains is looking at manufacturing specific materials or components, as Andrew said before, doing it cheaper or in a completely different kind of way. So yeah. I think this could be...
And that's an interesting idea, isn't it? I mean, the way that it could possibly replace some of our car manufacturing industries or others that have fallen by the wayside. I mean, that's a pipe dream, I suppose, but it could be the beginning of something, Andrew.
I think that's certainly part of what South Australia's strategy is on space. But to come back to what Alice was saying there, when she was saying, okay, you know, we've got no one to respond to these international people who are coming to ask us questions, I think it's probably that is a problem. A more important problem is we don't have people going elsewhere to ask those questions. We're not being proactive when it comes to space. But what I would also add to the list that Alice has put there is, again, in this area of startups and innovation, some of the statistics that I've heard, and I would like to get a bit more official versions of them, is that Australia has the second largest number of space startups in the world, after the US or India. So
you mean small companies started by young entrepreneurs or old entrepreneurs? I'm not sure.
Yeah, like these companies I mentioned
with ideas
earlier. There's a huge ecosystem of. And it's a very collaborative, very friendly space for people to be working in. It's a really pleasant experience to be involved with these startups. So it's a good community that's growing, and I think that's where really a lot of our opportunities lie.
Okay, so we've got the people, we've got the runs on the board, we've got the industry that's already existing there, and it's been supplementing other programs around the world, and we've got the geography for it.
Yeah, I mean, I've argued in the past that given that Australia has responsibility for about 1/8 of the world's surface when it comes to meteorology and search and rescue and air traffic control, that sort of thing. And yet we have the second lowest population density after Namibia. We've got to be working with space, and we should be number one in space.
Number right. one in space. I love it.
Yeah, we're not close to that yet, but, you know, that's...
well, you know.
You've got to aim high.
Andrew and Alice, it's been an absolute delight talking with you and entertaining these ideas. Plenty of food for thought there and lots of those startups. That's really exciting. Yeah, so thank you very much for talking with us. Andrew is with the Space Research Engineering Centre at the University of New South Wales. Alice Gorman, a lecturer in archaeology and space studies at Flinders University, both giving us a few of those ideas about what it might look like if we did one day have our own space agency, which we now know is a distinct possibility.